Lest I forget to say this later, I'd like to just add my own word of appreciation with what our brother Smith has already said for the privilege of being in Ballymena tonight and for the privilege of seeing so many gathered together to listen to the Word of God. Sometimes when I look at a gathering like this, I think it's amazing what curiosity can do. Curious to see these two Yankees. But I want to tell you something. Neither one of us was born a Yankee. Matthew chapter 21. Better get to the Word of God. Verse 1, and when they drew nigh unto Jerusalem, and were come to Bethphage, unto the Mount of Olives, then sent Jesus two disciples, saying unto them, Go into the river against you, and straightway ye shall find an ass tied, and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them unto me. And if any man say aught unto you, ye shall say, The Lord hath need of them. And straightway he will send them. All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, Tell ye the daughter of Zion, Behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek, and riding upon an ass, and a colt, the foal of an ass. Now in Mark's Gospel, let us read in chapter 11, to look at the same account, verse 2 of Mark 11. And saith unto them, Go your way into the village over against you, and as soon as ye be entered into it, ye shall find a colt tied, whereon never man sat. Loose him, and bring him. And if any man say unto you, Why do ye this? Say ye, that the Lord hath need of him. And straightway he will send him hither. Go your way, and found the colt door without, in a place where two ways met. And they loose him. And certain of them that stood there said unto them, Why, what do ye, loosing the colt? And they said unto them, Even as Jesus had commanded. Luke chapter 19. And they gathered together to listen to the Word of God. Luke 19, verse 31. And if any man ask you, Why do ye loose him? Thus shall ye say unto him, Because the Lord hath need of him. And they that were sent went their way and found even as he had said unto them. And as they were loosing the colts, the colt, the owners thereof, said unto them, Why do ye loose the colt? And they said, The Lord hath need of him. And they brought him to Jesus, and they cast their garments upon the colt, and they set Jesus thereon, and as they spread their clothes in the way, and when he was come nigh, even now at the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, Blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. If I'm able to leave one thing in your mind, then it will be what we have read at least these four times from the Word of God tonight. The Lord hath need of him. Because what I have in mind is just what you might call a parable of this little colt that fills such an important role in the Word of God. If you were at school watching a movie, that's the only place you'd watch movies, I hope. If you were at school watching a movie, a drama, you would find the music would be building up very, very much markedly at this time in the ministry of the Lord Jesus. We are coming to one of the most critical moments in the life of the Lord Jesus, a moment that has been pointed to down through the long centuries. Any careful student of his Old Testament scripture was waiting for this day. It was a day that was identified right to the very day. Now there is a whole host of Old Testament scriptures that must be fulfilled. And one by one they're being fulfilled in the birth and in the life of the Lord Jesus. And the passage that we would call today from our vantage point the backbone of
prophecy. And it will come along that will identify the very moment when the king is going to come to the city of Jerusalem, when he is going to come to be presented. All of that now is lying, waiting to be fulfilled. So if you are writing the music or watching now as the drama is taking place, the music is going to be rising. And the tension is going to be mounting. And you're coming to a critical moment. You're just about now to come into the time of the last week of our Lord's ministry here and His public work. And about to come to that point where the Lord Jesus will be lifted up, crucified upon. And He is coming now for this most crucial event in Bible history. And the music would have to stop just like that for a moment. And you would suddenly find the question being addressed on the screen. Where is He? Where is He? We're missing something. The whole drama stops right here. Because if key role is not filled, there's going to be something terribly missing. There's a key role to be filled. Now, I'm not telling you that this is the lead character. Oh, no, there's no question as to who the lead character is. But I'm telling you just at this moment, we have come to a key. All history, all the Word of God, all divine prophecy has got to stop at this moment. Role to be filled. We were coming along the road today, and one of the over there was an old donkey. What do you do with an old donkey? Well, he's kind of around for amusement. Just an old... something for the children to play with. Everything was stopping for a colt. It had a role to fill, and if it did not fill the role, the whole drama would not be right. Could I tell you tonight that if you miss filling the role that God has for you, nothing will be right. And if by the grace of God you find the little niche that God has for you, your key role, where was this little animal before the moment? Don't know. Where was this animal at the key moment? Don't know. What was the name of this animal? I don't. It doesn't matter. It just had a role to fill just now at the present moment in this critical drama that is being carried out for the glory of God and its glory. Is that all right to say about a poor little colt? Its glory was to be at the right place at the... God help me. The only thing I'm interested in life to be at the right place at the right time to fill the role that God has intended for me. And I want to tell you, whatever else you may fill in life in a role, if you miss this key role, you will miss the reason for living. This is what life is all about. The Lord hath need of Him. Take a look at this little character now and look at the description of this key role, this key player in the drama. He's a colt. Now, there are one or two gray heads and some other heads here tonight. Don't you think I'm leaving you out just at the moment if I say that there seems to me to be an important thing in this, that this critical player is finding his place in youth. That's what we have been reminded about already from the book of Acts. Here are young men. Take away the young men. And somehow or other there is going to be a loss. Down the road somewhere there's going to be a loss. How critical that these young men be raised up, that they be trained, that they find a place of usefulness for God. And as I look over the gathering tonight,
I look at young men and I wonder, have you found your place of usefulness for God? The time when men are made for God is when they're young. I preached with a dear older man. I guess it's all right to call him old. Mr. Smith worked with him for many years, and then I had the privilege of working with him the last couple of years. He served the Lord and the God alone. The first soul that we saw saved together, a young woman. And after she was saved, Mr. McBain played the piano, so he sat down at the piano. This was always his standard role. I never knew a man that rejoiced so much when people were saved.
Right.
And he sat down at the piano, and I went over this. Him and the girl that was saved was sitting next to him, and he was explaining the hymns, and it was wonderful. And it was past midnight by now, and he called his wife on the phone. He was enjoying it. So was I. And when we came to leave, put his arm around me. And he said to the new convert, I wouldn't mind being young like this man all over again. And he said, if I had my life to live over, I would give it all to the Lord Jesus again. Great thing to have youth. Only because it gives you an opportunity to pour out the whole life for the Lord Jesus. I wouldn't be interested in having youth for any other reason. A lot of dangers in youth. I'm not so much interested in going through the experience since the teenage days. Thank God I made it to the present. But all the only value of youth, young man, whatever youth you have, the only value of it is that you may use it for the sake of the Lord Jesus. Want to waste your youth? Live for the world. Want to waste your youth? Don't get exercised about divine things. Want to waste your youth? Wander aimlessly with no direction in divine things. And waste the most precious thing you have at the present moment. It was a coal in its youth. It was tithe. Now you'll allow me to say that this little animal was tied there so it would be there when the Lord needed it. Right? Oh, I know divine sovereignty could have found that animal wherever it was. But it was tied there so it would be right there for when the Lord needed it. Will you understand what I mean when I say that there are things in life that chafe? Things that bind you. Restrict your freedom. I'll leave you to interpret what that means for you. But let me just tell you this. Thank God for what ties you. Whatever it may be. By divine appointment, there may be circumstances in your life and you say, these things limit me. If it weren't for this, I could do that. I would be far more comfortable. Listen. It takes the Lord so often to make us uncomfortable that we might be where He would have us to be to use us. Thank God for your circumstances. It was tied in a place where two ways met. There are young believers here tonight. Tell you what. Mr. Smith has addressed his remarks at times to one person. So I'll do the same tonight. There may be one person in the meeting tonight that has come to this gathering at the place where two ways meet. It may be before you leave, there may be some individual in the gathering tonight and you will not have realized when you came that you were coming to a place where two ways meet. But God, by the Spirit of God, may tonight bring you to that place where two ways meet. And it may be in days that are ahead, it may be next week and next month, or next year if the Lord be not come. There will be lives that will be brought to the place where two ways meet. Oh, listen tonight. This is the critical point. This is the place of choice. And the choices that are made are going to determine the usefulness of one life
for eternity. It was in a place that was without. Just at the entering into the gate, but it was without, apart from everything else. I don't think it's any mistake that the Lord finds the key role filled by an animal that's without. Well, you say, I don't understand you. I haven't got your drift. If you don't get alone with God, you'll never hear the echo, "The Lord hath need of him." The need for getting apart from the crowd. Now listen, if you're going to have company, and some of us need company more than others do, if you're going to have company, make sure it's the people of God. Make sure your company is those whose pattern of life is consistent with the Word of God. Make sure that your companionship is chosen from those who seek to honor the Lord Jesus, who seek to fulfill the truth of the Word of God. Be selective in your companionship. And get away from them once in a while. On your own. In the quiet of your closet. For a walk down by the beach someday with you and the Lord. And some serious business being done for eternity. Without. Don't know, but sometimes as I look at young people, I know, I think they're spending far too much time with the herd. And I wonder, will they ever hear the voice of God? Will their lives ever be singled out? Will they ever become individuals for God? They're too much time spent with others. Get along with God. Get alone in the presence of God to find out, what does God have for my life? Why am I saved? What am I going to give account for at the judgment seat of Christ? What is the key role that heaven has for me? It was found without. It was an animal that had never been sat on. Now, I don't know just what you think about that. But it's an amazing thing to me. Now, I know that when the Lord Jesus wanted men to fish men, He got fishermen. And when the Lord Jesus chose Saul of Tarsus, a chosen vessel, you would actually have said He couldn't have got a man better suited to the job. Brought up at the feet of Gamaliel, outstanding young man. So I know that's on the one hand. You know, when it comes to job applications, you got to fill it all out, and you got to make it look as good as you can. Now, you don't want to tell any untruths, but you got to make yourself look as good as you can, right? You want your prospective employer to think you're the man, you're the woman. If anybody fills the qualifications, you do. The Lord doesn't ask for that kind of thing at all. No portfolios for divine employment. If you think yours is a job in the things of God, you better find some other work. You're not the man for that job. God takes men who have to trust Him to do what they're not really capable of doing. Men that have got to trust Him to give them the capability for something they've never done before. Now, don't misunderstand me. If you're going to preach the gospel in the south of Africa, brother's coming next week. Next week? If you're going to preach the gospel in the south of Africa, preach the gospel somewhere in County Antrim. Over the fence in your backyard. I'm not saying about doing something extraordinary far afield. But what I mean is this. A simple case of dependence upon God. Not some sense of self-assuming. I really feel I would be quite capable of a job for the Lord, you know. If only the Lord had a role high enough for me to start with. The Lord's not looking for men for the executive office. He's looking for men to sweep the streets. Men that are willing to depend upon God to enable them for a work they long to do for heaven.
But I want you to notice a little bit about the disqualification of Moriah. The disqualification of this little animal. Now see if I can get you to come around looking at this thing the way I am. Why didn't the Lord get a horse? You know, a prancing white horse to come into Jerusalem on. Well, now I'm going to Matthew's Gospel just for the moment. Because it's in Matthew that you have the quotation from the book of Zechariah. It's in Matthew that you're reminded that Zechariah is telling us that the king, when he comes, will come meek. And sitting upon an ass and upon a colt, the foal of an ass. Wait a minute, what about the rest of that passage from Zechariah? Where it says, and having salvation. Just a minute, not yet. He'll come having salvation for Jerusalem in a day that's yet to come. But now he's coming meek. He's coming lowly. And it won't do for him to be on a prancing white horse. This little animal will have to have a character consistent with the Christ that he's conveying. My, I think that's a tremendous point. The only way that you will ever be useful for God will be if you have a character consistent with the God for whom you'll be useful. Character! Oh, that God might stamp upon the hearts of young men and young women in the gathering tonight. What heaven is looking for is character in divine things. A lack of character will disqualify you completely for usefulness for the Lord. It is the very character of this animal that gives it its role in divine things. God, give us all character. Wait in divine things. A spending time in the presence of the Master that has stamped the Master's character upon the soul. Material things. Place. All the things that are so important in the world. And if they didn't watch you where you came on the Lord's Day, they wouldn't see much difference in your character from a person that's not saved. Oh, now just a minute. You say you're going awful hard on it. Well, now just a minute. Maybe it might be. It just might be. Oh, I know you don't use the language they do. But I mean as far as character. A lack of character will disqualify this little animal for its key role. But I think I better come to Mark's Gospel just for a little thought. Mark advances what Matthew said, and he says about this little animal, whereon never man sat. If I get something of the character of Mark's Gospel just coming into the case of this little animal, then I learn this. This animal will not fulfill its role if it can't be controlled. You know, what kind of a situation would this be? Impossible for the Christ now. But what kind of a situation would this be if you had a balky little colt, stubborn, wanting to go its way? What good would that be for this role? No, I know it's a mark of the divine character, the one that was with wild beasts in Mark chapter 1, that he sits upon an ass that has never been sat upon before, and that little animal is completely under his control. But don't you see that that is what makes this animal useful? It would be disqualified if it would not be controlled. Our world says, listen, be independent. That's what they say on the other side of the water. I'm sure they must tell you that kind of thing once in a while over here. Now listen, you've got to be individualistic. You've got to, you know, just be free. The old people don't understand. What they do understand of God would be worth spending a lifetime to get. Young brother, make it your business to be controlled. You say by the older brethren. You're expecting me to say no right now, aren't you? By the older brother, yes. Oh, you say, the fear of man? No. You younger, submit yourselves to the elder. Oh. What I'm trying to get across is this. A man who is subject to the Lord will be subject to his brethren in the fear of the Lord. The big thing is to know what it is to submit to the Lord, to open the life to this. I am willing for divine control, whatever the price may be, whatever the distance of going it may be involved. I am willing to be controlled by divine power. Remove that from this animal, it's disqualified. But then I think you'd see as well, I better just, I'll give you a word. Whether you can figure out where I got this from or not, I'll just give it to you. This animal had to be consistent. To continue with what it had been given to do. That's what I find in Luke's gospel. I'll just give you a hint. I find that by comparing it with the parable that goes before it about those men that had the pounds. Well, I won't tell you more. Consistency. Consistency. It's all right to start up. But now if this animal had a good start, and off it goes carrying the Lord Jesus, and it gets to the descent down by the Mount of Olives, it says, that's far enough. I'd like a little diversion, I need a little change. Won't do. The same today, next week, next month if the Lord be not come, as last week, last month, last year. Steady Christians. Faithful, consistent, holding a true course. It's a characteristic to be highly esteemed. Consistency. And the things of God. Lack consistency? Disqualified. I just tell you one other line of thought that I want to bring to you tonight in connection with this animal. I want you to see something of its duty. Because it's in a different role slightly in Matthew and Mark and Luke. So just for a moment, come with me to Matthew's gospel. Why is this animal in this place? What's its duty in Matthew's gospel? Well, you see, that's why we read in Matthew's gospel, that it might be fulfilled. There is scripture to be fulfilled. And that's why the Lord hath need of him, because there is something of the word of God that needs to be carried out. And it is the responsibility of this little thing, insignificant little thing. It's the responsibility of this little insignificant thing to contribute to the filling up of the word of God. Would you understand an application of that very simply? The Lord hath need of him. Are there young people here tonight that have reached a point in their life where they have come to this settled decision in the presence of God? Lord, I would like to know what divine truth is. I would like to understand the mind of God for personal living. I would like to understand the mind of God for family living. I would like to understand the mind of God for assembly living. I would like to understand the mind of God for spreading the word of God and the gospel. Oh God, what I am interested in is getting a hold of the mind of God, laying hold of divine truth. Now that's something different than learning how to ask questions at a Bible reading. And that's something different in learning how to answer questions in a Bible reading. I don't believe that there is such a thing as brethrenism. Sorry, I don't. But I think that young people sometimes think there is, and sometimes they devote themselves to learn brethrenism. I'm not interested in having pat answers and understanding what all the rest of the brethren think. With all due respect to my beloved brethren, I have no capability beyond them, so I'd like to get the advantage of all their capability. But it is my personal responsibility before God to find out what saith the Scriptures. Step one. But step two that I would like to impress on young men, young women in the gathering tonight is this. It is a worthwhile objective in life to lay yourself out for this. To contribute to the carrying out of the divine word of God. I have absolutely no question that what's going on in the assembly that gathers in this building is that there is testimony being carried on for God, that the word of God is finding its fulfillment. That is the aim of the gathering. I would say it would be a noble aim for your life if you made it the objective of your life to contribute to the carrying out of the word of God in divine testimony. to realize that there is something that God is intensely interested in this world, and it is my privilege to lay down my life to contribute to the establishing and the preservation and the upbuilding of divine testimony according to the Word of God. That's its role, Matthew's Gospel. What's its role in Mark's Gospel? The servant is teaching his servants how to serve. And he sends off two. They've been learning lessons in communion with the Lord. And he sends them off. That's why I read the section there in Mark's Gospel that Matthew and Luke don't tell us about. They did even as he commanded them. They were learning that when it comes to divine service is done in obedience to the Master. And this little insignificant animal, the Lord hath need of him to further the work of that servant. There's a place in the work of God that needs to be filled. Oh, I wish in a moment I could pour out my heart to young believers in the gathering tonight. There's crying need all around. I don't know whether that sounds strange in the north of Ireland. It does to me, I'll tell you what. When there are preachers, are they on every street corner? There's men preaching the gospel all over this privileged province. But I want to tell you tonight, there's a world that is crying for the gospel. There are souls that are perishing. And men and women need to hear the glorious truth of the Savior who died for sinners, who rose again. There's a work for God needs to be done in preserving and establishing and building up testimony for God. Could I remind you tonight, young man, the Lord hath need of him. And if you think the north of Ireland is full up, check the states. The Lord hath need of him. When I come to Luke's Gospel, let me just close on this note. This little animal has this place to fulfill. There's a glorious man that is being presented. There's something more of that character in the account in Luke's Gospel than there is in Matthew and Mark. Behold thy King. Blessed is the King that cometh in the name of the Lord. And they're glorying and praising. Glory to God. Peace in heaven and glory upon earth. There's something of the character of Luke's lovely man that is being presented. What's the privilege of this little animal? Do you think that there was one person, it might even not have been a farmer, do you think there was one person on the streets of Jerusalem that day that was saying, "Why doesn't that donkey have cute little ears? God, it's just got a nice coat of skin." In fact, the truth is, that was all covered. The only thing that mattered about that little animal was it conveyed the blessed Savior. And every eye saw the glory of heaven's lovely man. The Lord hath need of him to just be unknown, insignificant, and bear before others the glorious, worthy person of our blessed Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord hath need of him. The Lord hath need of you. May God help us that we might submit to the divine will and fill a key role. Insignificant though we are, a key role for the glory of the Lord Jesus.